Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
Doing all right. Well, I'll be honest, I'm a little tired today, but I think you can power through. How about yourself? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We had big news in the Choate household. My husband just got promoted to captain yesterday as a pilot. Before that, he was a first officer. So we're super excited for him. I miss him. This last year has been definitely challenging having him gone so much. It's done, you know, a different dynamic for our marriage and our relationship and having to navigate through that, but we've learned a lot.
So does that mean that he's going to be, does that change the schedule up then? Is he going to be around more?
No. Now with,
so it's not that kind of promotion.
No, but we're excited for him.
Sure.
And today, my friends, we're talking about how to masterfully solve any problem in your marriage. Ooh. And I know I got a lot of excitement for this one. And just as a little bit of a precursor, Mark and I are actually going to be featured in a live summit at the beginning here of August, on August 2nd, where we're going to be going even deeper into this topic. So we wanted to share it with you guys, and we'll also be sharing it in that live summit. So if you guys want to get in on that summit, it's completely free. Just leave a comment, say summit, and I'll make sure I get you the link where you can register for that. It's a powerful marriage summit featuring some of the best experts on marriage in the world, including Mark and I. But before we go into, how to solve problems in your marriage, let's share a client win of the week. Mark, you want to share us one from one of our clients?
Yeah, Matt here is sharing some stuff. He says, I want to share my biggest win of all. You can read my other posts from my background story. But as of today, the divorce that my wife filed for 15 months ago is officially withdrawn. Hey, that's nice. She also came back to bed about a week ago. We are now starting our new marriage together. It's been a long road that started way more than 15 months ago and certainly is not over, but I am celebrating today. She's definitely being very cautious and taking things very slow, but I feel all the hard work I have done is paying off. Things we are taught about patience, standing our ground, being kind, living how we want to live, that push versus pull and more have all been very useful to me. And of course, a little prayer helps too. The hard work will never end. I hope we can build an even stronger marriage than we had before. That's great news, Matt. I'm trying to look at that picture, see if I recognize him as one of our clients, but I'm not quite, don't quite recognize it. We have a lot of people come through our system. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, beautiful. So we asked you guys over in our Facebook group, The Thriving Marriage, what do you feel you need to turn a marriage around? A miracle or a proven process you can take action on. So as you're watching us either live or the replay, leave a comment. I'd really love to know, do you feel like you need a miracle or do you need a proven process? I saw a lot of different comments here and different opinions about that. Some of them are still saying, yeah, I need an act of God. I need, you know, my prayers answered. And I would agree that prayers can be answered, but I absolutely, in my own experience, find that God helps those who take action and helps themselves. So that's what we're going to be sharing with you guys today, is that proven process to turn things around. So Mark, what kind of problems are most people facing in our audience? We talk to, you know, dozens and dozens of people every single week about their marriage. What are some of the most common problems that we're seeing?
Well, you know, we could list off all sorts of things. Like, we see things like affairs. We see things where our audience, our clients are faced with potential divorce. In general, though, it's too many things for me to track that, all the little tiny things. So I like to try to categorize this, honestly. And, you know, I look at within our own system, we talk about foundations for a healthy marriage. And we talk about specifically whether the relationship is fulfilling, whether there's good feedback, whether there's intimacy, whether there's positive regard, and whether there's commitment. But I'll tell you the one of the most common areas, and I would say this is probably a good 80 to 90% of our clients, the primary issue and like, or the one that causes other issues, tends to all revolve around feedback. Like how does the couple work out some of their problems? How do they communicate with each other? Things like that.
Yeah, it really does stem down to that. It's kind of cliche, right? Everyone's like, what do you need to turn your marriage around? Like, what's your biggest problem? They're always like, communication. We can't communicate. They won't communicate with me. They block communication. We really don't understand each other. So what is the main problem that we see with poor communication?
I think there's a lot of different things that can cause this. It can be anything from, you know, perhaps one spouse isn't really speaking up about what they want. I think sometimes there can be expectations that are out there, but not communicated. I also, am reminded a little bit of, Gottman's principles of the four horsemen of divorce, which are all real big problems with communication. And that's just for those of you who are unaware, that's stonewalling, that's criticism, contempt, and why can't I think of the fourth one here? It's defensiveness. Blaming. Yes. Hey. Oh,
yeah, blaming defensiveness. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Defensiveness was that fourth one. But like in all of those are essentially problems in communication. I would say even further, they are roadblocks to problem solving in each one of these. Like, so, hey, I'm presenting a problem and it comes out as criticism, or I'm presenting a problem and I view the other person as the bad guy, contempt there, or I don't want to listen to anything, here's stonewalling, or I listen to it, but then I'm just going to fight back, that's defensiveness. And all of those, I think the real big issue why communication is such a central piece with many relationship problems is because when there are problems with communication, it prevents any effective problem solving or feedback here, like the ability to do something with some of that.
Yeah. Put in the chat here. You guys let me know of those that Mark just listed, which of those are you experiencing in your breakdown of communication? Is it stonewalling, defensiveness, blame, contempt? Okay. Missing one again.
Defensiveness.
Yes.
We keep missing that one.
Missing defensiveness. So which of those are you guys experiencing that's preventing the communication from happening? I know in my own marriage, there's been a mix of probably several of those, but a main theme would definitely be more of like stonewalling, defensiveness, very much defensiveness. It's really hard to take feedback and not be defensive about it, especially if you're feeling really insecure in yourself. And if you're in the drama triangle, it's like one of those things that just adds fuel to the fire, right? You just immediately become defensive and you're trying to like prove that you're not what they just said and that it's actually their fault. And then they get defensive and then back and forth we go. You guys are probably, a lot of you, very familiar with that. So a big problem, right, is that the request that we're wanting to make and what we're wanting to communicate about the issue is usually not clear, right? Mm-hmm. Often the case that either the expectations aren't clearly communicated or the importance of the request isn't clear. Sometimes we make assumptions that our partner should just know that this is important to us, or they should just know that the expectation is that we don't name call, or the expectation is that we do solve problems, or the expectation is we don't talk about problems, right? So we have these mismatched expectations. And sometimes we make these assumptions that our partner just knows what we're wanting and what the issue actually even is. So Mark, as we're talking about this big problem in your relationship of communication, understanding each other, actually the ability to give and receive feedback, what would you say the number one solution is to solve that?
Well, once again, I'm looking at some of these more extreme cases where the four horsemen are showing up. And I do think that what you said is very much applicable here, like that even in the case where there's stonewalling or defensiveness, or actually any of them, I think that the negative aspect of those interactions almost distracts away from any ability to communicate some solutions here. So, you know, like you're asking me, like, what's the solution then? I think that, first off, it's a really good idea to make sure that there is some clear understanding of just in general. So if there's defensiveness going on, hey, why is this such a difficult situation? Why is there defensiveness? If there is some contempt, okay, like, where is this coming from? And how is this other person feeling? And what are they trying to solve? But like, that's where I think it's just a great place to start in terms of getting through most any problem, is if we can clear up some understanding, if we can clear up expectations, if we can clear up the requests, what we want from the outcomes. I think in a lot of cases, you might have a partner who's a little bit more willing to work with you than you might think. Now, I'm going to point out, this isn't all cases. And as we go through some of these solutions today, you might have to apply potentially all three. But I think that's at least a good platform to start off on. My wife and I, sometimes we get into some arguments and we butt heads, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, she doesn't get me, or she's only thinking about herself, or whatever it happens to be. And once I've calmed down and I can start thinking a little bit more rationally, and I go to my wife and I'm like, hey, you know what? I really need some support with this, and I would really like this outcome to happen. Is there some way we can make that work? And I would even say 11 times out of 10, if more than 100%, my wife is usually very willing to work with me on stuff like that. But, you know, we had the problem to begin with because I wasn't making things very clear, or maybe she wasn't making things clear. So, like I said, it doesn't solve everything, but I think it's a great place to start as we're discussing some solutions. Now, Heather, what have you seen with this in terms of communication and how much that impacts problem solving?
Yeah, as you were sharing that, Mark, I'm like thinking back on, we've been doing this for years and years and years with, you know, so many couples, and I'm just, as you're sharing this, like the here and now conversation, making clear requests, those, all of these like different tools that we use and we advise our clients with, and the impact that that has, mm-hmm. Both in my own marriage and in all of these clients that we've helped, right? And many of you here in the group have seen it, right? And you know firsthand the difference that it makes to go from assuming something to having a clear request, to go from a pattern maybe of stonewalling and shutting down communication to feeling like communication is safe, creating safety around communication. One of the first things that we do in our coaching process is to open up communication, to reduce the tension, to identify unhealthy patterns and replace them with healthy patterns, so that communication is now safe, to make communication rewarding for your partner so they want to open up more. In my own marriage, just shifting, you know, from like my husband tends to try to want to pull away emotionally, and having that here and now conversation. Hey, I notice right now you're kind of shutting down as I'm trying to talk with you about this. What's going on? That's the power of a here and now conversation that I've learned from you, Mark, and that you've helped so many people here with. And so just being able to call it out in the moment with exactly what's going on, with the pattern that's going on, and now we're going to address what's happening right here in the behavior. And then once we go fix that part of the communication, now we can go into addressing maybe what the other issue is that we were first starting to talk about. In fact, I'm seeing a comment here. I'm in a frame where I clean up defensiveness and contempt, but she will find the worst possible way to interpret any words, inflection, or action. I stopped assuring her what I genuinely intended. There was nothing I could communicate that would go well. And so with that really negative story there, and what we call like a negative regard, viewing everything you do through a negative light, that's a pattern. And so bringing in some of these communication tools that we teach you of like having that here and now pattern. Hey, I'm noticing that, you know, even in this moment, as I'm trying to share this with you,
there was
little feedback there. You know, you're really viewing this in a negative way. I'd like to understand where that's coming from, right? Being able to have that kind of here and now conversation in the moment to call out exactly what's going on really helps to move things forward and gets you out of that stuckness in your relationship and in the pattern of communication.
Yes. So right there, as we talked about just a moment ago, we notice this in almost all relationships that are in some sort of crisis. And I think that's actually, in my opinion, it's almost like the definition of a relationship in crisis is where there isn't good enough communication going on such that they can't solve problems together anymore. I think it's the most important skill within a relationship is the ability to come together and to repair things, because over the course of time, you know, any couple is going to have any number of problems crop up, and there needs to be some ability to address those things. So yes, if requests aren't clear, if there isn't really any good feedback going on, or if there's a lot of criticism, contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling, all that really, really shuts down any ability to solve problems. And so like you always want to start here and check, hey, is communication coming across very clearly? And if it's not, we need to adjust that.
Right.
Yes. So
maybe now, as you learn these skills, which again, most of these are not taught, but you can learn them. Most of us are so caught in a pattern and in a habit of communication with our spouse that it's really hard to even identify what it is, let alone to change that pattern. But that's exactly what we help you do. So maybe now you've solved the problem of communication and you've gained the skill and you've clearly told your partner what you want changed. So let's just say an example of this. Perhaps it's something really big, like you want your husband to stop drinking and he just won't stop drinking. Or maybe you want them to come home right after work, but they keep staying overtime. Maybe you want them to spend more time with you. So in all of these cases, there may be some promises of change, but then nothing actually happens. So raise your hand and leave a comment if this sounds familiar, right? What's going on here is it's a lack of accommodation. It doesn't take into account why the problematic behavior is there in the first place. And there is a reason why they're doing what they're doing and why they continue to do the maybe destructive or dysfunctional behavior. But if we don't account for that reason why they're doing it and make some accommodation there, you're going to get some resistance to that.
I'm reminded a little bit of like kind of this old adage within within addictions. Like people talk about trying to quit smoking. They say, okay, well, you know, in order to quit smoking or something else, you need to replace that behavior with something better. And it's the same sort of thing here. If you just go, I can see so many instances of people saying, okay, well, my husband or my wife needs to stop doing this, or they need to just, you know, they need to go to therapy, or they need to stop drinking, or they need to spend more time with me, or whatever it is. And they're really not balancing that equation out. There isn't really any consideration for why this other person might be engaging in that behavior. Like there's probably a very good reason why there's, you know, a husband who just keeps drinking, or maybe you don't like them playing so many video games or whatever it happens to be. And so the solution here, if we're talking about trying to solve this, is you do have to make sure that solutions are solving the problem for both of you, and not just considering one person's concerns. Like I'm thinking about within my own marriage, and yes, I do play some video games in the evening. So my wife was not used to this when we were first married. And she's like, well, you know, when she was growing up, that was always kind of a taboo thing. And she was told, oh, you don't need to waste your time with that. And to a certain extent, you know, like I got that. I was like, okay, my wife would rather I spend time with her, and she would rather I, you know, not engage in something time wasting. And at the same time, I was like, but I like doing it. And so like it wasn't really all that helpful to have her, you know, this was like early on in our relationship. It wasn't really all that helpful for her to be like, hey, Mark, I want you to stop playing video games. It just didn't have any much impact. Now, I being a little bit quieter, it's like, okay, I'll try. And, you know, to a certain extent, I kind of meant it, but it wasn't enough for her. Where we ended up doing better with this is, you know, I learned to say, hey, you know what? This is helpful for me. It helps me to unwind at the end of the day. You know, in the big picture, I'm spending less than 5% of my waking hours on this, and I need some room for this in my life. So I said, I want to keep this. What do we need to do to help you feel better about this? And she's like, okay, I just want to make sure that there's some specific time for you and me. And I said, great. You know, by making sure that the solution was a little bit more balanced, you know, I was able to say, okay, I can carve out this time here, and we can say, this is time for me to do what I want and for us to do some things separate. And here's some time over here for us to do some things together, because I really want to accommodate that. And that really worked for us. And we've kind of used, you know, unknowingly, we've used that same template for a lot of our problems, not just what we're spending our time with, but whenever there are a lot of clashes, this is one thing that within my marriage we do well together, is trying to accommodate each side of the conflict. And I'm curious, Heather, how this has popped up perhaps for you, either cases you've seen or perhaps in your life.
Yeah, one of my biggest emotional triggers that puts me right into fear is feeling like I'm not good enough, and that my husband would rather be with someone else, and maybe not so much as in like an affair, but with his own family. So I know sometimes I hear from you guys here in the group as well that family ties can sometimes be a little threatening, right? And they can be so strong. And so having accommodations of like, here is where I am, you know, you have a need to be very involved with family members' lives and wanting to spend time with them and wanting to serve them, wanting to help them out at times, right? And so how do we find that balance between that need that you have to do that in an appropriate way, and for me to also feel safe and supported and heard and important? And that's been a constant dance in our almost 18 years of marriage. And we've come a long way in that regard as well. Like, okay, when we go out to visit this family member, I'm going to loosen my expectation that you go to bed whatever time you want to, kind of like the video game thing, right? Here's your space. I'm going to give you this space. What I need from you to make that feel good to me is I'm going to need your help to put the kids to bed before you go spend till 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning with your brothers, right? I want you to help me put the kids to bed, say a family prayer with us. And then I feel like you're caring and supportive of me. So I'm not carrying that whole burden the whole time we're there. So these are just little examples. But in the past, when I didn't have that accommodation for him and he didn't have accommodation for me, we both felt bulldozed. We both felt neglected. It was very easy to go into making it a bigger story. I would make assumptions that he doesn't really care about me. I would make an assumption that he would rather spend time with them. I'd make assumptions he married the wrong person. I mean, you know, all the ugly thoughts that you could possibly think, because I let myself go so far into a negative story and into fear. And so it wasn't until we actually addressed, like, this is where that's coming from. How do we work together on this? How do we both feel good about the situation and give that trust and meet those emotional needs for each other? So having that accommodation is really, really important. It's a little bit stickier sometimes in resolving deeper issues and deeper conflict. And so it's really making sure like we find a way that feels good and safe for both of us. I know I've shared on the podcast before, like I give the accommodation that Ben needs time to process. I don't want time to process because I can't think about anything else. It like consumes all of my time and energy. I just want to resolve it. But that doesn't work for Ben. It also doesn't work for me to have Ben process for days and days and sometimes weeks before we finally get around to talking about the issue. So we had to work together to find out, okay, I'll say, when in the next 24 hours can we talk about this? And that way he has the time he needs to process and work through things emotionally. And I also have an understanding that this issue will be brought up and we will have resolution on it. So kind of finding that dance between what we both need. So now, Mark, let's apply this maybe to something a little more serious that most of our clients are probably going to be dealing with. Let's give them maybe an example, like an affair. Many clients have dealt with affairs. How would you apply the same principle here of accommodation to an issue like that?
Oh, I like the question because, you know, I have to admit, sometimes I feel like when, say, you or I give examples, you know, we've kind of overcome a bunch. And so sometimes I almost get the impression that, oh, this is a little bit, our examples might be a little bit too light or something, like, especially compared to what a lot of people are facing. They're like, oh, no, Heather, you have to, you know, talk to your husband about whether he's spending time with his brothers.
Brothers, I know, right? Or video games. No,
it's yeah, true. Or something. But you know, no,
at the same time, we're showing in real life, like we do live this.
Yeah, which, no, absolutely. Challenge.
As and if we don't, they become the bigger issues that we faced before in the past. Of like, I don't feel safe with you. I don't want to open up to you. I don't want to be with you. Right. Like, so that's why it's so important to apply these no matter where you are in your relationship.
It's a very good point. And you're absolutely right. And I don't mean to like dismiss these experiences, but I like where a lot of our audience is at. That's why I'm liking the question. So if we're applying this to something like affairs, I've numerous occasions we've had clients where they're saying, okay, my husband or my wife is engaging in an affair. They need to stop. And I said, well, yeah. That, you know, if we're going to make the marriage work, you're absolutely right. I'm sure you've asked them to stop. Why haven't they stopped? And they're like, well, I don't know. They don't want the marriage anymore. And they're like, or they don't want to be with me anymore. And the reality is it's not quite that. It's more like, and I'm not going to say this is every case, but in a lot of cases with affairs, a lot of what I see is the person cheating approaches this and says, I can't have some sort of happiness within my own marriage. And it leaves them a lot more open to consider other options. They say, I just feel disconnected. I don't feel like I have any love in this relationship. I don't have anyone to talk to. And so then, you know, this other person comes along providing for those things. And so now when you're saying you found out about the affair and you say you need to stop that, you got to think about that for a moment, that stopping that affair represents to them giving up something that's makes them really happy, having someone to talk to, having someone to connect with, someone that where they feel like they have some love. And this isn't me trying to justify affairs. I'm just saying, if we're trying to approach this with a solution, you have to actually be able to accommodate that underlying need before you can even, you know, remotely consider some ability to convince them to come back to you. If you're saying, I'm not going to work on trying to create more connection with you, you just need to come back. What's the likelihood that they're going to come back? It's probably close to zero. So this is exactly what we're talking about, is you need to, in some of these more serious cases, you need to look at this unhealthy behavior, like addictions, like affairs, things like that. And you have to say, what is this actually doing for them? How are they gaining from this unhealthy behavior? And how do we provide that in better ways? And as soon as you start coming at it from that angle, you're going to get someone who's a lot more willing to work with you, and rather than feeling the need to fight against you.
Yeah, love that. Yes. Awesome. And then I saw a great comment here. Let's check on this real quick. What if she's checked out, says, I love you, but not in love with you. What are some good ways to start and to open communication when she's closed off? And we have our entire process goes into this, right? I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And how to get them to want to open up communication is the first milestone that we have to achieve. We have to reduce the tension. We take the pressure off and we make communication safe. So we just did a powerful training on this last week. If you want the full training, just leave a comment, say training, and I'll send it to you completely free. But I only have capacity to send it to the first, I don't know, 10 or 20 that do it today, because I've got a busy week the rest of the week. So if you guys want that training, just leave a comment, say training, and I'll send that to you. And that'll go even deeper in how to get that communication open when you're dealing with that situation. Now, yeah. Another
Actually, I want to comment on that because I do want to answer some of these, and I actually want to comment on one other person. So that situation where they're saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, and their spouse is checked out, you have to have someone clear understanding of what's actually wanted here, you know, that first part of the solution. And two, we have to have some accommodation for that. So like this person who's checked out is probably saying, I can't trust that I can count on my partner being able to have that connecting experience with them. And, or, you know, like there's something missing that they just don't trust can be there. And until you can like figure that out, and until you can like say, hey, I'd like to approach that problem, they're going to continue to say, you know, I it's just not worth it. And I've had, you know, many clients in that very same sort of situation. And they make the mistake of just trying to push way too hard. They say, well, you know, I'm trying to make changes. You need to come back right now. And they're really not accommodating that need to feel some trust and some safety with the situation first. I also want to talk about, we have another comment here. How do I get my wife to stop lying to me and be honest with me no matter what? Very good example of why the second solution is needed. There's a reason why there's a problem with honesty. I'm going to just take a venture or a bit of a guess here just with the language. The language, you might not be intending this, the person who made this comment, but it sounds a bit forceful. You're like, I need to make them stop no matter what. And it sounds like there's a lot of focus on what this person needs for themselves. And I think that you'd probably get someone who's a lot more willing to be honest if you figure out, like, why is it difficult? Do they worry that if they are honest, there's going to be a lot of conflict? Are they worried about you getting upset with things? Just from the tone of the comment, as odd as that sounds, I know it's a written word, those would be things that I would be exploring. And so once again, we have to understand what's going on and what's actually wanted, and we have to have some accommodation there for what the other person is looking for.
Yeah. And just to be perfectly clear, accommodation is not justification or excuse for what they're doing. Exactly. It's accommodation to achieve a solution together of what you both need from the other person, like what you need from them and what they need from you to get to the positive outcome, not to perpetuate any kind of unhealthy behavior. Okay. And just to tail onto what Mark said there, you need to shift the focus from yourself to your partner, because two selfishly focused people will never equal a happy marriage and never will. And you have to be willing to go first. Now, one of the other challenges that Mark and I run into a lot in solving problems in your relationship is that oftentimes we talk to you guys and you're very stuck on a specific solution. So we've all heard things like this, like my husband, he won't go to therapy. She went once and then she quit. My wife never wants to spend time with me. My partner never wants to do anything interesting with me. They won't talk with me. They won't leave the affair partner, right? And they need to end the affair, right? All these different things. So to many, like the solution would seem simple. If your husband's saying they won't go to therapy, then the husband needs to go to therapy. If the spouse won't leave the affair partner, then they need to leave the affair partner, right?
Yeah.
If the wife needs to cut out other activities to spend time with her husband, or the partner needs to go out on adventures with you, or the other person needs to just talk to you, right?
Yes.
And we've all heard that the situations, right, where these solutions just don't work. So first of all, you should be looking at whether you are accommodating both of your needs, right, with the proposed solution. Like we went through the solution number two, where you're giving that accommodation, right? But if that still isn't working, then you need to look a little more broadly and ask yourself and your partner what need they're trying to meet,
mm-hmm.
and working together on that. So Mark, we've taught here before, but let's go over what are the basic emotional needs that every person has.
Yes. So what Heather's talking about when she's talking about looking a little bit more broadly is these basic emotional needs. So this is a theory. The woman's name is Chloe Madanez. We drop her name on occasion. I always like to give credit where credit's due. If it's not my idea, if it's not Heather's idea, we like to give credit. So this woman, she says, hey, six basic emotional needs. And I personally think this is a great foundation for trying to understand where people are coming from. So in this case, these are needs for connection, sometimes referred to as, you know, a sense of belonging, needs for certainty, or in other words, safety, security, trust, comfort. The next one is uncertainty, which sounds a little bit odd as a need, but this is more referring to fun, variety, challenge. I know my wife likes this a lot. She often, you know, weekend will come up and she's like, we need to go on an adventure. We need to get out. So yeah, that's uncertainty. And then there's significance. It's kind of the sense of feeling respected, feeling considered, feeling like you matter within the situation. Less often in terms of problems within a relationship, but still it does come up, especially if it's blocked within a relationship. It's needs for growth, like that things are continuing to get better, and needs for contribution. The idea that what you do actually matters in the grand scale of things. So my thought on this is, you know, if your proposed solution is rejected, there could be so many reasons for this. You know, I was talking to a woman just earlier today, and she's coming to me and she says, my husband won't go to therapy. He doesn't trust that therapy, like the therapist is going to, you know, be on his side. He's worried that they're going to gang up on him. And I just need this in order for this to work. And we had to talk through that. I had to ask her, why do you need your husband to go to therapy? She's like, well, because that would solve the problems in our marriage. Well, okay, well, why is that important? When we got right down to it, when we kept asking questions, when we got down to it, we boiled it down to this need that she needs to feel more secure. Like going to therapy represented being able to solve problems and being able to feel more secure in the relationship. Specifically, she wanted to feel some secure or trust about knowing that her husband was going to stick around and be there for her. Okay, great. We've now, you know, we've started looking a little bit more broadly. We've kind of brought it down to these basic needs. We can go back to the examples that Heather was given here. Like, once again, if your husband's refusing to go to therapy and you want to feel more secure in your relationship, like the example I just gave, are there other ways that your husband can support a need for security? Can you guys have regular conversations at home together? Can you talk through things with a religious leader together? Can you go read some self-help books together? Like those would all accomplish very similar needs here in that hypothetical situation. Or, you know, I think you mentioned, Heather, like one of the things is like, if your wife is spending too much time with friends, not focusing on you, right? We'd say this is probably a want or a need for connection, mm-hmm. right? So are there other ways to support greater connection rather than just saying, you got to stop seeing your friends? Like, I think we just gave some examples earlier here. It was about accommodating that, carving out time for your needs versus the couple's needs, but so on and so forth. Like in my opinion, it becomes a lot easier to look at many kinds of solutions if we are breaking the problem down into like what is basically needed. Do I want to feel more connected, or do I need to feel like my choices are considered here? Sometimes it might be more than one of these, and to look at other ways to resolve that is often a good way to get around this kind of sense that there are no solutions or we're stuck on a very specific solution. I don't know, what is your thought here on this, Heather? Like, if we had to sum this up, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so solution number three on how to solve any problem is to be focused more broadly on what is wanted, and then be willing to be flexible on how you solve the problem. So don't get too stuck on the specific solution that must happen. Like the woman that's like, we must go to therapy in order for me to be secure, right? Mm-hmm. If security is the thing that's wanted, find avenues, focus broadly on how to achieve that level of security, instead of getting so fixated on how to get there. That's what I would say. So Mark, how do you feel like this has helped you in your own marriage and in clients that we've seen as well?
I'm just debating about like where what is too much information and what's but you know, I can think of like several instances where either my wife Jen or I have been really fixated on a very specific solution. I'll tell you, like, my concerns that I usually bring up are very much centered around like, is my opinion, is what I want, is it significant to my wife Jen? Is she considering what I want? And for Jen, she tends to really want to make sure that, you know, one, that there's a constant sort of stream of that fun and variety, but she also really wants to make sure that, you know, things feel calm and that there's a lot of comfort and security within the relationship. I can think of several examples where, say, one of us has been very, very focused on a specific solution. Say, hey, we need, you know, I might have said, we need to have a very specific date night each week. That was like the thing that I was focusing in on. And my wife really doesn't like too much structure around like us connecting. It feels too artificial for her. That's been the complaint. And so I had to let go of that notion that, okay, we need to schedule out a very specific date night. And I said, okay, but it's still important for us to connect. And I, you know, like, it matters to me that this is considered. So what are we going to do about it? And we kind of settled like, okay, like for her, it was okay to say in the evenings after the kids go to bed together, like this certain time is time for us. And we will try to get out on dates as much as possible. It's kind of like the agreement that, but by being a little bit more flexible, by stepping away from the solution that I was fixating on, it allowed me to still feel very fulfilled, feel very happy, satisfied with the situation, feel like I had a solution that worked for me. But it meant that I had to step back a little bit from the initial request and look at some other possible solutions here. What about you? Like, I imagine we've probably had some similar sort of experiences here.
Yeah, mine was more in the area of growth. I got very stuck on, I want Ben to grow with me in like the goals and the vision, and I want him to come along with me. And if he's not, then that was heartbreaking. And I've seen some similar stories develop, like the one I was starting to develop, of like, we're growing apart. We don't want the same things. We don't really care about the same, like, we don't have the same values anymore. Like, we're growing apart kind of story, was starting to develop, because I was like, I want to grow in my personal development, in my fitness, in my career. I want to grow as a mom, like all these things, like super into personal development, right? Mm-hmm. Super into growth and success and challenges and goal setting and, you know, accountability and all that stuff. It lights me up. Like it's so integral to who I am. And I wanted him to come with me in a specific way. Like, I wanted him to come to masterminds with me. I wanted him to come to like meditation retreats. I wanted him to be involved in like building this big vision for our lives. And while he is in some ways, it's not as much his thing, right? But I still had that need for growth. And so I had to let go of like, I need you to come with me on this journey in my life in this area, because it was causing a lot of heartbreak that he didn't want to come, and say, you know what? That's okay. It's okay that he doesn't come with me in this specific way that I'm wanting him to show up. And how can I see and celebrate him for who he is and celebrate his differences and the way that he helps me grow? So he helps me grow in ways I don't want to grow, which is probably the best way to do it, because that's outside your comfort zone, right? He wants me to grow by like going dirt biking and mountain biking and things that just are scary to me. Physical challenges is like what he's all about. So I have learned to find that growth by letting go of like, you have to do it this way with me, and seeing that we grow in lots of different ways in our relationship, and that he does value it just in other areas than where I wanted. So I think really like letting go of that expectation. I think I've said this very early on in the podcast, but Tony Robbins has a quote I really like. He says, trade your expectation for appreciation and you'll change your life. And so changing that expectation of like, it has to be this way, I'm fixated on this specific way it has to happen, to actually, I'm appreciating that these needs are being met. I'm appreciating that we're willing to work together on these things. And I appreciate that we're able to be flexible on how we solve these problems is much more effective and happy and satisfying in the relationship.
I think a lot of people would probably look at that sort of approach as quote unquote settling, but I don't think that's the case there. It's not that you are in your example that you were settling and saying, well, I guess I can't really focus on growth. You were just looking to see how you could connect with Ben in a growth sort of mindset in other ways. And how are you going to find appreciation and satisfaction? I think it's a great way to look at it, at the relationship. Now, this doesn't necessarily apply 100% in all cases. Like, you know, if there's an affair going on, for the long-term health of the relationship, there is kind of a solution that needs to happen at some point, is that the affair does need to end.
Don't get stuck on like, it has to end by you going to therapy with me, or it has to end by you publicly announcing to everyone that you had the affair, or yes, that you admit to your mom like some people get really stuck on, you have to check these boxes in order for that affair to end. And what we're trying to say is, let's focus on what's actually wanted, and let's have a broader perspective on like, how do we get to the affair ending?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we could approach this sort of thing, but I think that's a really good summary. What you just said there.
Yeah. I would love, real quick, as you guys are listening to this, let's do a little bit of workshopping. I would love for you to put in the comments, or at least just think in your own mind, what is the primary problem in your relationship right now? We're talking about how to solve any problem in your marriage, right? And become a master at this. So really think about, this is the biggest problem. I would love to find a solution to XYZ. Put it in the comments, because the more comments that we get and specific to your problem, we can give you resources, trainings, podcast episodes we've done specific to that problem, so you can go deeper into it. But now that we have that clarity on the problem, let's apply these solutions. So solution number one, is there a clear understanding of how important this matter is, along with expectations, requests, and desired outcomes? Is there clear communication around this problem? And how can we create more clear communication? How can we open up communication around this problem with our spouse? Okay, so put that in the comments. I want you to think about that. Apply these solutions. Solution number two, is this a problem that we can actually solve for both of you, not just one person's concerns? So how can we solve this and have those accommodations? How can you give your partner what they need to be able to solve this with you? What do they need from you? What do you need from them? How can you both work together to find a solution for this problem? Okay. And then number three, make sure that you have the broad focus on what is wanted and be flexible to how the problem is going to be solved. Focus more on what is wanted than necessarily the specific steps or checkboxes or path expectation around how it's going to be solved. So as you go through this, in all different layers of your marriage, different stages of your marriage, different challenges and problems in your marriage, this is how we're able to overcome those issues. We give and receive that feedback. We understand where a partner's really coming from. We understand what's really wanted. We understand what underlying emotional needs we have and what our partner has. And then we work together to solve them. So I would love to hear from you guys in the comments. Again, the more specific you are about the problems that you're dealing with in your marriage, the more we can help give you solutions to those problems.
I want to apply to one in particular, because it just seems like I see a lot of similar sort of situations when I'm working directly with clients. I'm looking at the comment from, I hope it's all right, just to use the first name because it's right there in the comments. He's sharing with everyone anyway. But Hans here is saying, can't tell you how many paths I took to try to find what she wanted or needed. Didn't answer sensitively worded questions about what she was looking for. Marriage counseling didn't draw it out. I would say in counseling that I am addressing complaints, but there's no feedback and no requests. So let's apply some of these solutions. Like number one, do we actually understand why his wife is not really giving that feedback? That's, I think, you know, one thing that I see is fairly clearly missing. Now, he might say, well, yes, exactly. That's what I'm trying to draw out. But like, I'm wondering here if he sat down and had one of these, I think you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, one of these here and now kind of conversations like, hey, I'm noticing that it's really difficult for you to give feedback, that you don't really tell me what you want. This makes it really difficult for you, me to help you. And I'd like to understand that. I think that would be a great way to start approaching the situation. Now, number two, if we understand where she's coming from, it makes it a lot easier for us to accommodate what she needs. Like if therapy isn't working, I don't know, because she feels intimidated, because she feels like she's not going to be heard. Now we can start accommodating the situation for that and make it, you know, if the two of them are going to therapy, we can now adjust the therapy so that it feels more comfortable for her. And then, you know, the third piece here is, you know, do we have, are we stuck on specific solutions? Now, like he's, I don't know if that's the case here, if he's at all stuck, but it does seem to me that he's looking at this and says, hey, I tried therapy, I tried talking to her like this, and there's nothing to be done. And I do think that, you know, he could look a little bit more broadly. He could start saying, hey, is this because you're uncomfortable? Are you needing to feel like you, you know, how you feel matters? Do you need to feel like things are a little bit more secure? Like, I think he could start asking some of those questions and start probing around some of these basic needs and maybe try to find a solution that fits a little bit more broadly. It might not be therapy and it might not be something else, but I'm guessing that those, you know, if we apply these three solutions, it would at least provide some avenues here.
Yeah. And the magic really happens, of course, as we work with you guys one-on-one in depth in our coaching program, because we can get a few glimpses into things here in the comments, but the reality is we have to go deep in with you and do the full marriage analysis to know what's really going on in your relationship, to diagnose what the problem really is, what the underlying patterns are that are creating the disconnection between you right now, and what the right solutions are to get you where you want to go. And that's exactly what we do in our coaching. So if you want more information on that, just leave a comment, say free marriage session, and we will get you a link where you can connect with us for that free marriage analysis. And we can go deeper into that and get you the solutions that have helped, like we said, thousands and thousands of our clients to turn around this exact kind of situation that you're dealing with right now. So we're going to go now into our marriage myth buster. This one is complex problems require complex solutions. And I have to laugh because I just kind of said, like, we have to go deeper with you into like your specific problem. I'm going to say complex problems require custom solutions. Okay. They're more custom to exactly where you're going. Mark, what is your takeaway on this?
I think it's the wrong mindset here. If you hold this as sort of some sort of dogmatic approach, like, okay, this is overly complex, and so we need to look at this very in a complex way. And I'm of the opinion that many people like to think of the problems in their relationship as complex or impossible. I mean, that's a whole principle that we talk about with a lot of our clients, is this idea of impossible problems. I mean, the thinking here goes, after all, if it were easy to fix it, it would just be solved. And I think more often there are many simple solutions that could be implemented that haven't been considered. That's one possible scenario. And, you know, I think in a lot of those cases, it's hard to look at your situation and really determine what kind of solutions are needed. It's just, you say it all the time, it's hard to read the label from inside the bottle. And I think that's a very applicable, is the word idiom? It's an applicable statement here that, yes, it works really well. So conversely, I do think that this isn't the only issue. Like, people often think that solutions maybe sometimes should be simple or easy. And I think that's also a mistake, as in they don't see the changes that they want their partner to make. They don't see it as too difficult or too much to ask. After all, once again, they look at it and say, well, it wouldn't be hard for me to do that, so why should it be hard for them? You know, and I'm often reminded of, like, you know, just my own relationship in this regard. So it's not that, like, say, my wife Jen or I have like clinical cases of, say, depression or anxiety, but I run a little bit depressive when I'm not in a good space, and my wife runs a little bit anxious when she's not in a good space. And sometimes we look at that and like, and I'm like, why can't you just calm down? Why can't you just, it's not that big of a deal. We don't need to worry about this. And I'm thinking it's too easy. And same thing on her end, like, why can't you just cheer up? Why can't you just get motivated and move along? And so on and so forth. The myth here comes about by assuming too much, walking into problems without getting the full picture from your partner or perhaps a professional. And much like medical problems, it can be hard to tell just how complex or simple a problem can be without really careful examination. So while I'm going to say, yes, sometimes complex problems do need complex solutions, we don't want to assume too much. Sometimes complex problems aren't really that complex, and they could do with simple solutions. And sometimes simple problems need complex solutions, and you know, so on and so forth. So I think it's just not good to assume. And that's what I have to say about that.
I love that. Back to the assumptions. We kind of talked about that. It was a bit of a theme throughout this entire podcast. So again, question your assumptions. And the way that you're looking at it might not be the best way or the only way to look at it. How could you look at it in another way? And above all, stay true to what you're really wanting. What are you desiring here? And how can you work together to get it? And if you can't work together right now, then how can you work yourself until you get to the point where your partner is willing and wanting to work on it with you, which is exactly what we help you do. All right. And our next podcast is going to be in 2 weeks from now because Mark and I are going on vacation. So we're really excited to have a little break with our own families. So in 2 weeks, we're going to share with you, if you have a resistant spouse, here's what to do and some mistakes to avoid. So thank you for joining us all. Thank you for your comments. You guys are deserving and worthy of love. And we cannot wait to see your marriage turn around and truly thrive. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, everyone. See you.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.